Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Well, it was an historic night at Talla Stadium for the Irish women's football team, who beat Georgia by a record-breaking 11 goals to nil in their World Cup qualifier. Let's take a listen back to some of the action.
Oh! Pick that one out. Fabulous strike with her trusted left foot. And Ireland have 8.
10 minutes to go.
Oh, that's another one. And it's Saoirse Noonan. And that equals Ireland's record score. 9 goals. And still there are 9 minutes to go. And it's played through by quite a chance here for Amber Barrett. That's 10. History is made in Talla. And it's Amber Barrett, whose name goes up in lights, as the scorer of the goal that breaks the record for Ireland. Never before has the Irish women's team scored 10. They've done it tonight. But now a chance again. And it's in again.
George Hamilton there. Well, to take a look back at that game, I'm joined on the line by RTE soccer analyst Lisa Fallon. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. That was an incredible performance, wasn't it?
It was. It was. And, you know, fantastic for the women's team to cap off what's really been a positive year for not just women's football in this country, but women's sport in general. So, you know, a lovely way for them to finish off the international season for 2021 and tease them up rightly now for what will hopefully be a cracking year next year.
Yeah, and I mean, a cracking result, but it gets to the point where it prompts questions about what's going on in women's football.
Yeah, I think, look, you probably look at some of the results across this international window. England beat Latvia 20-0 last night. Spain beat Scotland 8-0. Northern Ireland beat North Macedonia 9-0 on Monday night. So I think what you're probably starting to see is a two-strand approach to women's football development across the globe, where you see the real difference in how the women's game develops and evolves when countries, nations, leagues, football associations, when they really invest in the women's game and give women, female players, the resources to really push on and develop their careers. And then obviously the gap widens then when nations who are less developed come up against the stronger developed nations. And that's probably what we're starting to see a bit more of in the last year or two, where you're starting to see those types of results. Obviously, very difficult for the developing nations, and certainly a challenge for governing bodies to look at how do you protect the development of those nations, but also encourage and enhance the development of the stronger ones.
Now, this is surely a sign of those rewards that are being reaped after those heroes stood up and made a stand about resources in Irish women's football. The investment that resulted, the treatment of those players, it's beginning to show.
Yeah, I think, look, you know, the team obviously made a case that they felt and they were right to have better resources available to them, because they're just as serious about their careers as footballers as any males are. And, you know, we do have a responsibility to make sure that women have the same opportunities as lads. And the women's game is developing massively as a result. And obviously, historically this year, the women's team now get the same reimbursement of expenses for their international time as the male players do. So it's really positive to see this. But, you know, you have to understand that if you unlock the potential in half, 50% of the population in this country, you should get, you know, 100% more success and results and, you know, that opportunity. So it's really important that continues. And you know, it is a real testament, because the girls, you know, who are playing today are standing on the shoulders of the ones who went before and fought those battles.
Absolutely.
And the visibility piece now is so important too, that, you know, young girls who can go to the games, or if they're not able to go to the games, they're able to sit at home and watch women's football and women's sport on TV and have that open to them. Because I know myself, when I was 12, the first time I ever saw a woman in football was a fictitious character on a TV show. And that was the first time I ever saw a woman participating in sport, never mind football. So it's, you know, you have to we have to bear that responsibility cautiously and carefully
Sorry to cut across you, but can I ask you whether you agree with the manager's call, Vera Pauw, saying that UEFA now should have a two-tiered system? I think she made the call before, reiterating it after the result last night. But there was plenty of evidence, as you say, given the results around Europe, for that to happen.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, when you're a manager, and this would be at any level of the game, does any team really benefit from a result like that? And the answer is no. You know, do Georgia benefit from a result like that? Do Ireland? Ireland's goal difference in the ultimate quest for qualification certainly will. But for those Georgian players, does a night like last night help their development? It doesn't. And I think it is something that football governing bodies are looking at. And I'm sure that there is a lot of work going on to ensure that the development for both the stronger nations and the ones who are, you know, have a bit more road ahead of them to catch up, that development continues.
Lisa, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Lisa Fallon there, RTE soccer analyst. Coming up next, dust-ups in the Dáil, Lise Hand and Johnny Fallon on the big rows on the floor of the House.